Dina Gittel Bas Avram Chaim.
Dina Gittel Bas Avram Chaim?
Yes.
Okay, Meher Hashem have an aliyah. Let's learn. We're in the middle of Mizmavav. Let's just read the Pesukim from the beginning. Lam Sech Benegidus, Al Hashminis, Mizmav David, Lam for the conductor, Benegidus, with a particular melody, Al Hashminis, on the musical instrument called the Shminis, Mizmar LeDavid, a song for David. Hashem, Al Biapichos, Chichen Vial Bachamos, Chasi Asreni. Hashem, do not give me Musr, Toychocha. Toychocha is rebuke with anger. In a state of anger, do not come down upon me harshly with musar. The albacha masra, with fury, do not siyasereni, do not chastise me, do not cause me to suffer. Choneni, David says to Hashem, please be kind to me, be gracious to me, show me favor, give me a free gift. Loshen matnas chinam, ki umlal oni, I am feeble, I am crushed. I am broken, crushed, weak, both mentally and physically. Rifaeni, heal me, Hashem, ki nifhalu atzumai. My bones are shuddering. My bones have been they're removed from their sockets. You know, it's interesting about Yehuda, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel in the Vezoyis Habracha. Yehuda Amar. Yeah, I forgot the words, but Chazal said that his bones in his coffin were shaking, were agitated, because they did not let him to the Yeshiva Shalmaila, because of the mice, because since he was responsible for Mechiras Yosef, it was on his watch, so they did not let him to Yeshiva. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to be mispalel that Yehuda be allowed to enter. And there, when it describes his matzav, his state of not being allowed to enter into the next world, it describes it as his bones were shaking in the coffin. So you see from that bones reflect the olam haba. There's basar, the basar reflects olam hazeh. The bones reflect the person's matzav in olam haba. When the person in the next world is in trouble, it is reflected here in this world that his bones are rattling, and the person is in need of help. You also learn from that pasuk Rashi and Chumash is that we can do more for them than what they can do for us. We are misled to think that the person has a problem. So what do? A segula. You go to the cemetery, be mispal, everything will be good. People, they run to the cemetery, they run all over the world to kvarim of the cemetery. I'm not saying this, not it's a wonderful thing to do. It's a wonderful thing to do, but the truth is, guess what? Instead of, you can do more for them than what they can do for you. You see that, that's all you see in the Torah. You see in the Torah that Yehuda was in a state of distress. In the Olam HaEmes, Chazal say they did not let him enter. It was only because Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel, Yechi, you know, it was a Reuven, not Yehuda, Reuven, Yechi, Reuven, V'al Yom, Yechi, I don't even remember, it was Yehuda, it was either Yehuda, it was Reuven, I don't remember which one it was. And someone's there, their bones were rattling. It says there in Rashi, their bones, Yehuda, his bones were rattling. And it's only because of the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu did in Shemayim did they have a change of heart and allow him to enter into the next world. So isn't that amazing? We can do more for the dead than the dead can do for us. But for some reason, we don't believe that. We're so desperate, we have a tendency to think that if we go to the Kvarim, we travel all over the world to different Kvarim, they're going to go solve all of our problems. Pasuk Dalet.
Venafshi. Anyway, I remember we went to a Kvarim tour in Eretz Israel. They told us we're not davening to the Mason to help us, but in the Zechus of the Mason,
so there are different opinions.
Hashem should consider that and help us.
Okay, there are different opinions. There are different opinions to that. Some say exactly what you just said, that you don't daven Hashem to the dead. That's not the Jewish way. You daven to Hashem. You always say we daven to Hashem. Or some say, like you say, some give a little more of a twist of what you just said is, you're davening to Hashem in their presence so that they should eavesdrop and hear what we're doing, and they should on their own go to Hashem, whatever that means, to whatever that means in Shemaim, and they should be mevakesh rachamim on their own. They also should participate in praying for us where they are in the next world. That's a bit controversial, right? Because in the next, what does that mean exactly? But see, the way what you said was, no, they don't do nothing. They don't do not. They're there. They know what's going on, whatever that means. But we say to Hashem, we alone pray to Hashem in their merit. But they are not participants. Not everyone agrees to that. Some hold that no, the Mason also participate. Now, it doesn't mean, like you said, it doesn't mean daven to them. They're not God. You don't daven to them. You daven to Hashem. But you're davening to Hashem in their presence so that they should join us in prayer from where they are, which is something which is very esoteric and mystical, which no one today can possibly know what that means. But they're also going to be a participant in this prayer. Correct? And but the truth is, who says they're not in trouble? I always tell you from Rav Steinman, it's in the art scroll biography of Rav Steinman. Okay, he was very upset that when he went to a funeral, and they would say, "May the mace, the nifta be a melitz yosher for us." So he would say, "What kind of talk is that? The mace should be a melitz yosher. The mace right now is according to what Chazal tell us. We have a muna pshut in the words of Chazal." The mace right now is subject to din. For the next 12 months, the mace is at a trial. In Shemayim, he's subject to din. And they're analyzing his life, all of his deeds. He can't do anything for us. He has his own problems. The mace has its own problems at this time. So you're trying to burden the mace, besides all of your problems that you're going to be subject to, also come save us. Let the mace first take care of himself.
But then there's a standard, you know, it's
a 100% of Steinman, nothing has changed. Business, business as usual. Nothing has changed. I'm just telling you what it says in the biography of Rav Steinman, published by Art Scroll Mesorah. They write this there, they write all these, Rav Steinman wasn't even the person. He was like a mamish, a malach elokim tzavokas. The stories there are like so way out. He was like, we had such a person in this world.
I know, this week,
terrible, unbelievable. Yeah. You know, if according to the book, if you after you read the book, he would be very happy.
Yeah, he wanted to be.
He was very happy to take the suffering of his yoinus. In his lifetime, he suffered incredible towards the end of his life. They had graffiti, wherever he lived, they wrote the most horrible things. And he had a lot of pleasure from this, it says there. Yeah. Because he felt, because kavod takes away from your olam haba.
Yerusha from Shachan of Shmuel.
Meir's Rebbe is Rav Shach. Yeah. Mayor's
Mayor. Has anybody been to Rav Shach's cave?
Yes, me.
It looks like a chassidish thing.
Yeah.
A little swarm shrine
when I was there.
Huh?
No, I didn't see any Swarm Shack when
it
was there.
Big, bigger than the Satmar, Rabbi Yishev, and the tables at one side.
I don't remember, whatever. Listen, he's not in this world now. There's nothing to talk about. Let's go back. The Navshi Nifhala Be'oi, David now says.
But it's a common thing then.
Yeah, of course. So obviously nothing's going to change.
Apparently it's accepted that.
Exactly.
So what is to that expression?
I don't know. No idea. The minute I would say the same thing. I would also say Shmuel. I wouldn't change anything. I'm just, some of these things, they're a wake up to at least when you say these things, nothing's gonna change. I would say the same thing. It should be a male tzioisha. But I know if Steinman wrote in the art scroll book, his biography, he thought it was crazy to say such a thing. Okay, it has an effect on me to realize that when you say those words, it means whatever it means, whatever it means, whatever.
Okay,
it just.
Hopefully that person's a tzaddik and who's
right.
Then,
I'm a kulam tzaddikim.
He can speak up for us.
Maybe he's totally exempt from any din. Maybe the person is such a tzaddik, he has such great merit. You don't know what merit a person has. He's not subject to any din whatsoever because of something that he did in this world. And therefore, you can right away help us. Or maybe you're saying it al ha'osid.
Right,
it's not for al ha'osid.
After
eventually,
a couple of days, weeks,
right,
months,
whatever, exactly. It means whatever it means, but it's an interesting thought.
Don't we say that you shouldn't go to a caver the first year after the person is left there? And not make my cautious and not to do
right, anything? That's all part of this. I don't know. All of these type of things are all
above our pay grade.
It has faded.
Everybody cannot generalize. Look, they say Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So by the Bariskers, they don't go to the cemetery at all. They don't believe in it. They never go. Person dies, they're buried, and that's it. You never go to the cemetery. That's the way. That's their hashkafa.
They weren't kahan.
They're not kahan. They're levim. They don't go. They don't believe in this whole thing. They don't go. So first, I'll tell you that he moved to Muncie for many, many years. After the shiur, I would go to Davin Mincha around the corner to Rabbi Schmidman Shul.
He moved?
Yeah, he moved to Muncie. He's no longer. He moved to Muncie. How did
it look?
He didn't put it out, obviously, whatever. I don't know. He put it out. There's a lot of sermon ones.
Which shul was this?
Right around the corner over there, East 18th Street, between K and L. There's a shtiebel. There's a shtiebel around the corner. So after the shiur, I would go there to Davin Mincha. And I would stick around sometimes and learn, prepare a little bit, sometimes for a period of time. And they had then, not anymore, a koilel, a very nice koilel. They learned there the whole day. And it was his koilel. Rabbi, and his name was Rav Simcha Soloveitchik. Rav Simcha Soloveitchik is more Soloveitchik than Soloveitchik. Okay, he's part of the, whatever, there are a lot of Soloveitchiks. And he's a real character. He's no youngster. He's no youngster anymore. He's a zaken, and now he moved to Muncie, and with his children, with his whatever, and he had a coil there, and he's a real McCoy, a real heavyweight salivation, and he's very, and I used to talk, I used to hear him talk, and I very interesting things he would say. He goes to the cemetery all the time. He loves cemeteries. He knows where all the cemeteries are. And he goes to Washington Cemetery, and he goes to Mount Judah, and he goes here, and he goes there, and he also traces from. He was literally actually writing a sefer about. He's in charge of in Mount Judah. There's a very chashuv segment portion of the cemetery called I don't know what it's called, where Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is buried, and all the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and his wife Rav Shmuel Rozovsky is buried. There's a very chashuv section. In Mount Judah. That's his, he's the balabas, he's in charge. He's in charge of that chelka. And he was in the middle of making a sefer just on that chelka with a picture of each kever and a biography of who is in that kever, a short biography. He was in the middle of compiling. So he loves cemeteries. He's very into cemeteries. Oh, but he's a Brisker, and everyone knows the Briskers don't go. On the other side, farm is the other, just across the street. It's the other side. And then Rav Yosher Ber, as I was saying, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, Zechasat Levracha, who's buried in Boston. So when his wife passed away, he would go to her kever very, very often. And he would tell his students that, I know you're probably wondering that in my mishpacha, everyone knows that the Soloveitchiks, they don't believe in this. They don't, once you're dead, you're dead. You're in Shemayim. There's no purpose of going. What can I tell you? I can't control myself. I have to go. I just feel the need to go. So you see, no, nothing is etched in stone in this world.
Didn't we learn that Yaakov Avinu said that he purposely buried...
Yes, Rachel on the derech.
On the road, so that when they go out,
she
will come out and be mispalel for the children who are going to Golis.
And where else? That's one place in the Chumash. The second place is Beferish, Yehoshua, and Kalev. Kalev went to the Ma'ara Samach Pelo to be mispalel, that the Meraglim should not make him turn sour. He went ad Chevron. He took a detour. When he was sent, one of the 12 spies to spy out the land, he took a detour and he went ad Chevron. And Rashi's...
could have been mispalel that in the Zchuyais of those who are
right
there.
Whatever it means.
Talk about them coming out.
But
Yaakov said specifically that, yes?
I don't know, you have to go see the exact words. You have to see the exact words, but one thing is clear, there is such an inyan to go to a cemetery to die. You can't deny the fact that it's in the Torah itself, with regard to Rochel, and with regard to the others, the Ma'oras HaMachpelah, with Kalev, he went to Davin at the Kvarim of the Avos.
No, but he didn't say that he didn't say that they were going to be davening for him.
Right, it doesn't say. It doesn't say who's davening for who, but it does say we do learn that there is a value, there is a merit, there is a value of going to the cemetery.
Does that mean the neshamas actually have contact and know what's going on in this world? We don't know this.
You're talking to the wrong guy. I have no idea.
One-way street or two-way street?
I have no idea. How am I?
I have
no idea.
I got it in Ruv and Brochus.
He went to sleep, he had a fight with his wife, the Gemara did a prison, a fight with his wife, and he went to sleep in the cemetery. There was no hotels open. All the hotels were full, so when he slept in the cemetery and he heard the spirits talking to each other, and they were talking about what's going to happen in the coming year. And then he had such success, he went back the next year to sleep again in the cemetery, to hear more reports. Look, these are very esoteric things, and I wouldn't have confidence in anyone that tells you they know what's going on, because there's no way anyone today in our generation.
You say all the time the Neshama is looking over us and watching. Does that mean anything?
I don't know how. I would be a liar to tell you. I'll be an outright liar to tell you that I know this. I mean, who could possibly tell us how these things work? The only thing we do is we have to have emuna that there is something to it. What are the mechanics? How does it work? What exactly is going on? There's no one alive today that I have confidence in that can tell me what's going on. I don't believe anyone today alive is holy enough can tell me how these things work. But there is a tradition, a time-honored tradition, going back all the way from the time of the giving of the Torah, with Yaakov Avinu telling Yosef, Meso alai Rachel, v'ekbereha baderech beis lechem. Why? Rashi says the tradition is because when the Golus would begin and they would go into Golus, Yaakov Avinu knew of Yeruch HaKodesh, they would pass this road, and he wanted them to pass the kever of Rachel Imenu, Rachel Mevake al Boneha.
And that's a special case, it may not be in general.
Okay, so but we have to assume it appears that the minhag ha'olam is to learn from that. Obviously, no one is on the level of Rachel Imenu, no one has that sanctity, but every person on their level has what to offer. Hashem created the world for everyone. Everyone has what to offer, and there is definitely a value in going to a kever to daven. How does it work? No one knows. So you go and you daven. What could be? You daven to Hashem. You daven in the zechus of the person. If the person that's buried happens to be listening, so maybe they'll also, whatever, these are all traditions. You cannot prove scientifically how this works, and no one came back to tell us how these things work. But you can't deny that if you're an Orthodox Jew, it's your duty to have faith that there is value to going to a Beis HaKvaros and being mispalo. That's all. People that tell you they go to the Beis HaKvaros and they have miracles, I would stay far away from them. I don't believe in this type of stuff. Almost you go, you have miracles, you go, this can be miracles. Okay, good, you believe you saw a miracle. It's very, very nice, it's very, very wonderful. But don't promote it. It doesn't work well when you try to convince other people of miracles. It just doesn't work.
They go to the Rimnitzer in Muncie, and he was Baal Moifes when he was alive. A lot of people have said that things have happened as a result of davening there.
And if I have time, I would also go. I would also go. Well, it's one very important thing about these type of things. You have to really believe. You have to, when you go to these type of things of segulas and davening, you have to be really a believer. If you're going there, I'll try it out. I'll try my luck. I'll go there and I'll daven. Maybe yeah, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. If somehow something doesn't seem right, you have to be a member. If you're a chassid of the Lipnitzer, you're a chassid of this one and that one. I would assume if you really connected to these people, it means something to you. Like I once had a very spooky story. Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz. It was a simple story, no big deal. Everyone has their stories. Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz. I didn't know him so well. My father went to yeshiva with him. Father's Chan Levracha, he went to RJJ. My father knew him. My father had a very nice relationship with him. Every once in a while, he came to my father's shul, and he would always come and give my father gifts. Art scroll, machzorim, he gave him gifts. So over the years, so because my father knew him, I would say hello to him every once in a while. Then when I gave a shiur, my father Shlomo wanted to make photocopies. I started emailing him, and he was very, very kind, generous to me. Nothing so significant. He passed away. Okay? The art school, a year later, they published a biography. A biography of Meir Zlotowitz. I was going to Eretz Yisrael. So I, you know, on the plane ride, you know, what are you going to do? The whole plane ride. So I bought the book. I really wanted to read what they wrote. You know, I figured if art school is writing a book about Meir Zlotowitz, it's going to be good. They're not going to mess this one up. Right? They're not going to mess this one.
Was it an autobiography?
No, of course not, okay? So I figured it's going to be good, and the reviews were, you know, over the top. Okay, wonderful. I buy the book. I read the book. It's talking very interesting because there are things there that they wrote that they really should not have written. And if you know what went on behind the scenes, then you're really shocked. Even I read about 75% of the book on the plane. Got through, I would say, and I enjoyed it very much, and it meant a lot to me because whatever, I just enjoyed it. It was very, very good. Okay, fine. I come to Eretz Yisrael. So where do I go? I stay with my brother, I have to go to my parents. My parents are buried in Beis Shemesh, in Eretz Achai. I've been there a few times already. I know where they are. I know how to get. I know exactly the whole. It's not such a big cemetery. It's not so big. It's not so complicated. And I know exactly where they are. So I come there, and I'm very familiar with the whole territory, and I go. I don't know how it happened. I made a wrong turn. And then I made another wrong turn. And before, and then when I realized, you know, I'm in the wrong place, I pick up my eyes, and I'm looking right in front of me. I see a keren, Meir Yaakov, with a lot of stones, Zlotowitz. And I really felt, I don't know why, after reading the book, and it brought back a lot of memories.
There are no coincidences.
Right. I had, and I read the book. It just brought back a lot of memories of him, my parents, over the years, and I really felt almost like there was a magnet there, and like I came to the cemetery, and he pulled me in. I'm not sure how I felt. Now, if you tell it to someone else, oh, you're crazy, coincidence. Okay, that's right, for someone else. That's right. I can't go convince people of all supernatural things that happened. But I really felt, here I am, I'm on the plane, whatever it is, I'm reading the book, my whole mind's worked up, memories are beginning to, you know, percolate, and then I come to the cemetery, I have no intent to go to him, I didn't even know he's buried there. I go to my parents, and then somehow I find myself, without any intent whatsoever, standing in front of his room. What are the chances of that happening? Zero. It's like he pulled me in, and I stood there, and I right away realized, wow, and I started saying to Hillel, I started talking to him. I like to talk to graves. They don't answer you back. They don't answer that.
Maybe that was you.
What?
What did you say? You said something to Hillel?
I said to Hillel. I said to Hillel, then whatever I said, I said to Hillel, whatever. You know, so like,
okay, I'm
you said this. I said to him. And you know, so you know, obviously it's like the neshama is there. I mean, to me, in my mind, and you can't tell this to anyone else, but in my mind, something is in Shemayim. You see, I don't know how this all works, but something pulled me there. Obviously, to me, there's something very spiritual, and there was a need for me to go there, to be misfollowed there.
That was the first year, his first year? Or?
I don't remember. It was probably more than, because it was after the book came out. The book came out probably a year, more than a year since his patira. So, you know, and everyone has their stories. I'll tell you another story. I went, my grandmother. It's very, very bizarre. Very bizarre story. My grandmother, she passed away many, many years ago, okay, before I was born. And Mayor takes me. It was only because of Mayor, this story. Mayor takes me on my grandmother's yard site and on my mother's yard site. He got me into this. He takes me to the center of Mount Judah. He's buried in that same chelka where Yaakov Kamenetsky is. So we go every time. One year, not that long ago, it happened to be mamish, bizarre. Everyone in my family happened to be here in New York for some strange reason. So somehow I mentioned, you know, the yard site is coming up. And we all decided we're gonna go on the yard site to the cemetery, to my grandmother. And we had there probably 15 people. I don't even know if there were 15 people when she was buried. When she was buried, how many years ago this was? 50 years ago at least? I don't even know how many. So we come, everyone's there, the whole family is there. Couldn't believe it. Her name is Nechama. And we're there. And this is also the funny story. The grave right next to her is another woman. Her name is Kahana. I think I'm getting confused with Kahana. The last name is Kahana. That's not so important. And we go there. We daven. Fine. We daven. Uneventful. Go home. I get a call that night. That my brother's daughter just got engaged. And she got engaged a couple of hours. I made a calculation. She got engaged exactly at the time that we were at the keder. And her name is Nechama. She was named after my grandmother. So tell me, what are the chances our family will never go to visit graves? And here we are, there are more people here at the grave probably than when she was actually buried. And it just happened to be Bahashkacha Pratis at the moment when we're there at the grave, my brother and Eric Shol, who has a daughter whose name, who was actually the first child, grandchild, that was named after her, she gets engaged at the moment when we're all there by the cabin. I mean, so are you going to tell me there's nothing to it? Well, another person would say, yeah, that's right. And I would also, you tell me your story, I would say, okay, very, very nice. Doesn't mean anything to me. But I guess to me, this means something. So obviously, there's something going on here. There's something about the graves, what it is.
But you have to realize that you didn't make it happen. It happened, and it shows that it happened.
Right. I didn't make it happen. Definitely not. Right. I did not make it happen. Hashem made it happen. And that itself is a revelation that there's something going on in another world that we don't know about. Okay, let's go further. This is a very powerful passage. My neshama is in the state of bahola. Okay, bahola. Very much. We don't say the word ma'od. Ma'od is not a common word. We don't abuse the word ma'od in Tanakh. Not like in America. Oh, he's you say very much the best. Hyperboles and exaggerations. Tanakh doesn't do that. If you say the word ma'od, it's very, very serious. V'ato Hashem, you Hashem ad mosai. David over here, he challenges Hashem. How long is this going to go on for? Now, these words, Ad Mosai, is in Kina, Machol knows about this Kina, in Tisha B'Av, in Kina Chof Ches. Kina Chof Ches on Tisha B'Av is an amazing Kina. It basically goes through world history. World history. It's clear.
But you all should know about it.
What? Okay, it goes through.
Everybody here should know about it.
I don't know. Not everyone has time to go through it. But it's towards the end of the Kina Chof Ches, and it goes through world history. And there at the very, very end, towards the end, it says the word, that says this expression there, Ad, this expression, the Ato Hashem Ad Mosai. I don't think it's Ato Hashem, but it is Ad Mosai. And there, if you follow the sequence of the expressions, it's referring to what would appear to be very, very dark times. Go through the whole sequence, and I'll show you. To a very, very difficult kufa of Klal Yisrael. Ad Mosai. David over here, and if that was drawn from this pasuk here, David over here, when he's saying these words, he's obviously dealing with a very dire situation. David HaMelech is dying. Okay, he was a young man at this point in time. This after the Ma'aseh of David Ba'Sheva, and he's lying on his bed, and he's very, very sick, and he says, my neshama is in the state of Bahola. My neshama, I forgot my guf. It basically means that my neshama is subject to din. I'm about to die. Gesundheit. V'ato Hashem, how long will you let this happen? Ad Mosai. Let's see the Mitzvah of Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, V'nafshi, V'af Nafshi, Nifhal of Yim Kain, Ad Mosai, Ehe Oid Nogua, Umuke. How long will I be in this state of pain and suffering? Haloi Etzem Hapur Onios Ba. The essence of punishment is only for the purpose liglois oizen lam musar, It's very important, Mitzudas David. V'nei kvar nifhalti v'kibalti ha-musar. This is a very powerful words of the Mitzudas David. When Hashem gives a person musar, Rachman al-Lutzan HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon a person yisurim. A person is required, easier said than done, to acknowledge there's a purpose. There is a purpose of this chastisement. There is a purpose of the suffering and the rebuke. And the purpose is a message. If a person gets the message, if he allows his mind to loosen and absorb Hashem's message, then that is the greatest segula, so to speak, for lack of a better term, to be healed, for this tekufa to come to an end. Many times the person, Rahman al-Sun, they have to go to the doctor, and they have some type of situation. So you hear people say, oh, you hear them talk to themselves. It's not because I did an Avera, it's not because I did anything wrong. This is kachi darko shalolam. You know, you live in America and you eat certain types of foods and you're a certain age and it's genetic, DNA and this. So I didn't do anything wrong. I don't need to make a cheshbon hanefesh. This was destined to happen to me, to be in this situation, whether I would have been, no matter what I would have done in my life, no matter what, everything, every decision that I've made in Ruchnius would not have changed the outcome of the situation that I find myself in right now. It's purely genetic, it's DNA. That does not appear to be a Jewish hashkafa. People, very religious people say this, they say this also. I mean, and who's to judge? We don't know anything. But it does not appear to be a Jewish hashkafa. And that's what the Mitzudas David is saying. David HaMelech is saying, I'm suffering. I'm not suffering because my genes were programmed from the time that I was born that when I reach this age, I'm going to need to have an appendicitis. It's not because my DNA was programmed when you get to age 37, this is what's going to happen to you. David's saying, that's shaker. This was never meant to happen to me. It's only because I did an avail. And Hashem, I got the message. I did an avera. And I'm not going to do it again. And I'm sorry that I did it. And I'm reflecting, and I'm opening up my mind and my neshama to accept the musa. David, you did an avera. You're a bad person. You did evil. You have to do teshuva. You have to make changes. Hashem, I've made the changes. It's never going to happen again. I accept the musa. There, when a person does that, he can then say to Hashem, I've done mine, you do yours, Yatah Hashem ad mosoi. Call it quits. Stop the punishment. I'm entitled to tell you to stop because I have accepted the musar. I have not been in the state of denial saying that the only reason why this happened is because, you know, that's the way life is. That's Hashem made an imperfect world. People get sick. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just built into your genes. It's very hard to swallow this. It's a very hard thing to swallow, to accept such a principle. But over here, that's what he says. David and Pasuk Dal, look at the mitzvah stuff. It's very powerful stuff. My neshama is shaken up. How much longer? I've done my part. Haloi etzem ha-pur-on-niyos. The essence of punishment bo'o is only coming upon a person liglois oizen lamusar, to awaken him. You're doing something wrong. It's not a coincidence. It's not something that's been programmed into your body. V'hine, David says, kvar nifhalti. Hashem, I have been shaken, my neshama has been shaken up to the ultimate degree. V'kibalti ha-musa. I accept the musa. I'm going to make changes. I'm going to be a different person. And therefore, I'm now entitled to demand from you, Hashem, ad mosai. Okay, this is much easier said than done. And isn't it amazing to say this every single day, twice a day? It's an amazing thing. And how often do we even know what we're saying? We even think about this. Pasuk, what does Rashi say? There is a Rashi on this? Yes, there's Rashi. V'ato Hashem ad mosoi tabit ve'encho rofe. Will you gaze and will you not heal? Rashi is just telling us very, the Metzudas is giving a lot more flavor to these words. David Rashi just very simply says, how long will you acknowledge, will you observe my suffering and not rescue me from my pain? Pasuk hey.
You want to say there's a question mark,
Ein Cha Rofei? Yeah, it's a question. Yes, question mark. Yes. Admosoi, the word Admosoi is a rhetorical question. Admosoi, how long is this going to go on for Hashem? How long are you going to allow me to suffer? I have accepted the Musar, and now it's time for you, Hashem, to stop the punishment.
It's the fact that he doesn't know till when is also a pain.
Anxiety.
I doubt it. I don't know. If I know, okay, so when will be a year? Okay, so
that's the worst thing. The anxiety is the worst thing. How long will this continue for? That's what I'm
saying. Maybe until
my death. Until I die. Different nikud. Okay, that's a different nikud. Ad masi. That would be a different nikud. It's play on the word and play on the word. Pasuk
hey.
What
does tabit mean?
To gaze, to look. Hashem is watching. Hashem is watching me suffer. Hashem, do something. Don't just watch me suffer. Don't just look at me and observe my suffering. Do something about it. Stop the pain. Bring an end to it.
Who says he's watching? Maybe he's doing something
else. Hashem is always watching. Hashem is watching. Pasuk hey. Shuvo Hashem chalutzo nafshi. Hashem, return. Come back. Hashem, you have distanced yourself from me. Chalitza nafshi means release my neshama. The word chalitza is like chalitzas hanoal. Chalitzas means to loosen. Loosen the straps of the shoe so the shoe can come off my foot easily. Chalitza means like shaloif, to loosen my neshama. Now, what does it mean to be my neshama? My neshama is in a torture chamber. Someone took my neshama and put it in a straitjacket. Put it in a torture chamber. Release my neshama from its suffering. Loosen it. Chalutza nafshi, hoshieni, save me. Leman chastecha, for the sake of your kindness. Let's see the Mitzudah is David, Pasuk Hey. Mitzudah is David, Shuva Hashem lozeh. Shuva. I don't know what he means by lozeh with regard to this. Shuva you Hashem, come back. Lohaitzi nafshi mehatzara, to release my neshama from the pain, from the difficult situation. V'yoshieni leman chastecha, af imadai lo nifrati kefi chatoai. Okay, so here he's saying over here, he's coming to elaborate in the previous pasuk. In the previous pasuk, David says to Hashem, ad mosoi. So the Mitzudas David is explaining, David says to Hashem, I got it. I got the message. I have absorbed the Musar, and therefore I am entitled, al pi midas hadin, to say to you, Hashem, enough. David then says, maybe not. Maybe I'm fooling myself. Maybe really I didn't absorb the full message, the full Musar of what you're trying to say to me. Maybe, you know, I'm making a mistake, Hashem. I think I got the message. I really did not get the message. If that's the case, Hashem, I ask you, do me a favor. Do with me chesed. Nida sarachamim. I didn't get the message. I don't deserve it. But still, even if I don't deserve it, please stop punishing me because I can't take this anymore. So these two psukim, they go very well together. First pasuk, according to the Mitzudas David, is David says to Hashem, I demand from you, Hashem, that you put an end to my suffering, al pi midas hadin. Because the only reason why you're punishing me is because you're trying to send a message. I got the message. I got the message, we're done. Cut it out. Let's say I'm fooling myself and thinking that I got the message, but I really did not get the message, and I really deserve a lot more. Okay. So then, Hashem, I ask you, mitzad midas harachamim, do with me chesed, and stop punishing me because I can't take this anymore. It's too much. So that's how these two psukim go together, at least according to the parish of the Mitzvah Dois David. Rashi.
There is a difference between the nefesh and the shomer.
Okay, there are five different words. These are Kabbalistic things. These are five different words that refer to the soul.
The nefesh is more physical, the shomer is more spiritual.
The nefesh and the shomer. I don't remember. There are five different terms to describe the neshama.
Ruach nefesh, neshama,
chaya, yechida. Ruach nefesh, chaya, yechida, neshama.
Nefesh, neshama.
Five different words. Each one reflects a different prat of the soul. Okay.
When he says shuba Hashem, means he felt that Hashem left him.
Oh, that's a pashut shot.
Because he says return.
Return. So Rashi, okay. See, Rashi doesn't say that. It's interesting. Rashi says shuva mecharoincha. Hashem, you're angry. Hashem, according to Rashi, you can suggest that Hashem is right here. He didn't go anywhere. He's right in front of the face of David, but Hashem is angry. Shuva, restrain yourself, Hashem. Go back mecharoincha. From the midah of anger. That's how Rashi learns the word shuva, and the Mitzvahs did not say that. According to the Mitzvahs,
so
how I would say
it. Shuva.
Shuva.
Okay,
but he doesn't see, the Rashi doesn't say that. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Where do you put the Bil'el Mil Rabbi Yanaf Gemina? You're Rabbi Yanaf Gemina. Or we had it yesterday in the Rashi.
Shuva means you return. Shuva, tashiv, tachazir.
Ordinarily, right. So you're saying right. You see, ordinarily, let's say the word ochel. The word och, you can pronounce the word ochel. Kalman is saying something very important. This week's parasha we learned yesterday, last night. We have the word ochel. Ochel is ochel or ochel. What's the difference between pronouncing it ochel, which is milara, putting the emphasis, or ochel? So the difference is, when you say ochel, it's a noun, food. Ochel, food. I have on the table ochel, food. When you put the emphasis on the first syllable, on the aleph, it's ochel means to eat. It's a verb. Ochel is a verb. I am engaging in achila. Ochel. When it's ochel, it's food. So here in the Chorah, it's the same thing. If you're saying the word shuva, milara, It's the midah of not being angry. It's not an action. Shuva Hashem, chalutza nafshi. Rashi says the word shuva mecharoincha. I'm not sure what I'm saying is correct. If you say shuva Yisrael ahar Hashem elokecha. So what does it mean in that pasuk? Shuva, there it's pronounced under the shin. Shuva. Why? It's an action. With giving you instructions. Jewish people, do teshuva. Do something. Shuva. Here, where is the ta'ame ha-mikra? Under the vase. Shuva Hashem. It would appear, I'm just trying to...
Tachzir otan. Now, not you should return, but return
me
something.
Return something.
Return my health.
It's not a verb. I'm not telling you to do something. You should be Hashem. You should be in a state of shuva, of withholding yourself.
It's something else. There is Poal Omed and Poal Yotze.
Okay.
Poal Omed means you do it.
Okay.
And Poal Yotze means the Peula is done to on somebody, on something else. And Shuva Hashem, Mo Shuva Hashem et Shiviteinu.
Okay.
Rafikim Anegev. It means not that you should return, but return us. Return et Shiviteinu.
So Rav Kalman is saying Shuva Hashem means that Hashem should return us. David is saying return me.
Return my health.
Because if David would be giving Hashem instructions, then the pasuk should be Shuva Hashem.
That's not the way Rashi learns Rashi.
So Rashi says, no, not necessarily God, it means Mitzvah David is silent on this matter. Okay, it doesn't, let's know what it does not say. It does not say Shuva Hashem, which would mean Hashem, take action. It doesn't say that. It says Shuva Hashem, which now we have to struggle to understand what that means. So if Kalman is saying, put aside Rashi for a moment, is Hashem, you bring me back. I'm not asking you to do something. Allow the situation to be, allow it to be, that I should be returned to your good grace. We're not telling Hashem to do something. Hashem, just withhold yourself to allow what's natural, that I should be returned to be in your presence.
Yeah, but that's not the way Rashi or it's also not. No.
Shuva mecharoncha.
The context of the pasuk doesn't.
Okay, I hear. I don't know. Okay. You're right.
The entire pasuk is do to me what?
Action. Take action.
Shuva, chalza.
These are actions. Okay, so we have to really. Mu says that this rule that I compare to the word ochel. And ochel in this context is correct. Who says it's correct? But on the other hand, you have to remember when shuva yisholash ad Hashem elokecha, there it's shuva. It's not shuva Yisrael. As far as I remember, right?
Why?
Shuva Yisrael.
Shuva. Shuva Yisrael. I mean, that's what's in my head. Shuva Yisrael.
We got to go look in the Chumash.
Not shuva.
I think it's shuva. I don't remember. You have to go look in the Chumash. Yeah. So then it will be very interesting that we have a difference of Malal Malara, and obviously it's going to make a very big difference in the translation. And also you have to remember the Tamei HaMikra, this is something that is not etched in stone. When Rashi gives his comment of Mecharoncha, when Rashi gives the comment, I don't know if you have it in the study. It's a Shabbos, I don't have it in the study. Also, you have to understand that when Rashi's Mesorah was with the Komat, with the Munach, was under the vase. Maybe when Rashi giving us interpreted commentary, maybe Rashi is telling us that your art school edition is wrong. You should put the Tami HaMikra. I don't know. You know, the Tami HaMikra and Bel Melara, you do find differences sometimes. It's not always.
Yeah.
It's not always etched in stone.
Well, that's why the Radak said there are five places that, and this is Milra this time.
Which Radak? Here?
Yeah.
On this pasuk?
Milra. He says, Shuva Hashem Chaltzunach Milra. Behem Chamisha Milra. V'zeh Echamehem. Look at the Radak.
Oh, I didn't see this. Shuva Hashem Chaltzunach Milra. Behem Chamisha Chamisha Milra. V'zeh Echamehem. Page 47, Pasuk Hey. Page 47, Pasuk Hey.
Plus
a K
in what?
The Radak.
Second white line.
Okay,
Mark. Milra v'heim u'chamisha milra v'zecha shuv mecharon apcha olai. V'shuv is an action. He's learning this in action. V'shuv chalz nafshi v'shloyomus mizecha li. Choshin, he's not telling us what does Menachem Shai say? Shuva hei b'tam milra v'simonom b'masaris kan v'ze'echad mehem. Okay, the Menachem Shai also makes mention of here that the correct reading stays Shuva. Rabbi Maievsky is looking up the Haftorah Shabbos Shuva.
It's on the Haftorah Shuva. I knew the Trub. Shuva Hashem.
So what's it on the vase or Shem?
It's on the vase.
Oh, it's also.
Yeah.
Okay, so I made a mistake.
Hashem,
I made a mistake.
Careful.
Dvarim Shabbati Tosheim Biyadi. I made a mistake.
And yeah. What you said, Ochel, is just the opposite. Shuvun Shuvulon Miat. Ochel. Bring us food, not eating. Eating is ochel. To eat is to le'echol.
We have to go back to Rashi.
Ochel is food.
Ochel is food.
Ochel is food.
And ochel is to eat.
Ochel is to eat.
Oh, so I made a big mistake. So now everything makes sense. Now everything makes sense. So ochel milra is food, and ochel is a verb to eat.
Right.
Milra is with
tzere,
and
right.
The food is the
segon. Ochel, right.
Ochel.
Okay, but that's a kind. Okay, that's another point.
But that's
Rashi. Rashi in this week's parsha. Rashi in this week's parsha, when it says the word ochel, Rashi makes a comment. Rashi says there are two words. There is ochel and there is ochel. One of them, the time is the beginning of the word. He says it beferish, and one the time is. The time is the end of the word. Rashi makes it very clear. Then Rashi also, and then what, and he says, he calls it a komatz katon and a komatz godol. Wow. One he calls it a segel and he calls it tseri. Actually, it's a different vocabulary. He says both of those things. So there are two words. There is ochel and ochel. Ochel, milra means food. Ochel means to eat. It's a verb.
Ochel is mila'el.
Ochel is mila'el, right. Ochel is mila'el. That means food. Food. Ochel means to eat. Whenever it's milra, whenever it's
ochel, it's ochel.
Ochel. Ochel is to eat. There are two different words. There is ochel and there is ochel. They're spelled the same. Milra means the end. The emphasis on the end of the last syllable. There are two syllables in this word. And there are two different ways you can...
What would shuva be if it were mila'el?
It would then be a state. It would then be in a state of retreat. It's not an action. It would be a state of being. In war, you can be on the offense, or you're now, at this moment in time today, we are going to rest. We are in a...
I just can't think of an example.
I don't know.
Well, that way, I can't think of one.
We have to find, we have to search. It has
because,
to...
Because here, it's a tzibui, I think.
It's a verb, it's a command to do something.
Which is equivalent to a sid, which is milra.
Correct. Like eat, ochel. Ochel means to eat. You're doing something. Shuva. You are doing, you are actively involved in retreating. If it would be shuva, it would mean you are in a state. I'm doing nothing. I'm not twitching. I am in a state.
So when we talk about Shabbos
shuva,
you're incorrect.
No, right. You're correct. Exactly right. That's why I made the same mistake. I'm honest. the pasuk it's Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. If the Baal Kri would say Shuva Yisrael, doesn't make sense. It's saying that the Jewish people are in a state of repentance. That's not true. The Jewish people are being commanded to do a Shuva. What?
I'm sure very few people are aware of
that. Well, they have to come to the morning kollel. Okay, Shuva Yisrael is a command to get... You have a chumash?
Yes.
So what is it?
It's non-committal. It doesn't have a mesek on the either vowel.
Well, where is the trup? The trup is the ikar.
They're afraid to write it.
The trup is the ikar.
It's Yisrael out of Shevel Kessel. Shuva. There's no trup on the Shin or the Beis.
Tresa ben Moshe.
In the Haftorah.
What's the trup? Wait, what's that?
There's no trup on the word Shuva.
Well, there's an artful chumash.
That could be wrong.
What are you talking about? That's trup.
All right. Let's not spoil the fun here.
So we don't know if we should return.
All right, let's go further. We have to go. Let's go further. I want to go there. Ki ein running out of time over here. Ki ein b'mavis. Let's try to put professionals paragraph. No, I'm not going to make it. Okay, pasik. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Shuva mecharoncha, Hashem, go back from your anger. Chalas anavshi mei cholyi, release my neshama from its illness. The word. Look at the Malbim. The Malbim, when he translates the word chalitza, no, there is no Malbim. I thought it was a Malbim. I saw somewhere who gave a translation here on the page. At least I thought I saw. Oh, yeah, Mitzudais Tzion. What does it mean, the word chalitza? Shalif. Shalif means to withdraw, like you withdraw the sword from the sheath. Shalif means to Hashem, he withdrew the son. Where?
It says here in the Chumash, it does have a
yisiv. It's a yisiv, okay. So it's shuva. So a machal. This whole rule needs to be reanalyzed, and we have to go back to this at some point in time. Okay, there in the word shuva Yisrael, indeed, it's mila'el.
Right.
Okay, it's mila'el. So we have to understand that obviously this rule obviously has to, we have to come back and understand that when it comes to ochel, what it says by ochel does not seem to apply to the word tshuva. Rashi in this week's parsha, beyond the shadow of a doubt, says there are two words. There is ochel and there is ochel. Ochel, what the two differences are, one word, the chaf, and one has a segol, chel, and the other word is a tsere. The second difference is the pronunciation, the emphasis. Is it ochel or ochel? When it's mile'el, milara, ochel, a tsere, and milara, it means it's a noun. It's a verb. It means to eat, a verb. When it's ochel with a segol and mile'el, it is a noun, it is food. Now, how does this rule apply to other words, like the word shuva? I do not know. Let's leave it for now. Let's go further. Okay, we have some interference. Let's go further. The word chalitza is a very important word. This is a very important mizmor because we say this mizmor every single day. We say this every single day. Chalitza means to withdraw. To withdraw, to release. A person withdraws a sword from its sheath. Chalitza is to withdraw shoes. A person is wearing shoes. The chalitza na'aloi me'al ragloi. The Yavama is instructed to remove, to withdraw the shoe from on the foot of her brother-in-law. Chalitza, chalitza sanal.
She should be freed from him.
Well, that's her. But the pasuk is describing the action of removing the shoe. The chalitza na'aloi. She shall remove. We translate very loosely. We remove the shoe from his foot. That's not the correct word. It doesn't mean to remove. It really means to loosen. To loosen, withdraw. You have to loosen the straps and then withdraw the shoe from the foot. Here, David is using the same exact word with regard to his neshama. His neshama is strapped on around his neshama is pain. There are tsaros that are strapped around his neshama. He's begging, just like a shoe fits on the foot of a person and it's tied down with straps. So too, David feels that his neshama is shackled with some type of container that ties it tightly upon itself. And David is saying to Hashem, Hashem, untie the straps of this tsar and remove this object from my neshama to let my neshama free from its pain. Remove my neshama from the illness. So you say that what's on the inside, what's on the outside? You want to say is that the neshama is on the outside, the pain is on the inside, and Hashem has strapped the neshama upon something that irritates it. It's very interesting what you're saying. Over here, we're coming in, we're trying to take this word and match it to chalitza sanoa. There, clearly, the shoe, the foot is the ikar, and around the foot is a shoe that's strapped down. So now, if you want to compare the case of the neshama and tzar, we have a neshama, and there is something that is irritating the neshama. Which item would you call the neshama? Would you match up the neshama to it? Which item would you match up the pain to? I thought that the neshama is the foot, and the tsar is the shoe. And the tsar is wrapped around the neshama, and it's fastened with straps around the neshama. And as long as this container is surrounding the neshama, and it's strapped down, the neshama is in pain. David is saying, Hashem, open up those straps, pull off this container, so that my neshama underneath can be free from the tzar. Rav Kalman is telling me just the opposite. Is that the tzar, everyone agrees just the opposite. If you want to make this comparison, it's that the neshama is the shoe.
Because the neshama is something. The pain is abstract.
Tell this to a podiatrist.
No,
in the waiting room, we'll have an illustration to explain that when you say tachin every day, that's when you really do it. You're saying to Hashem, save me from the podiatrist.
Okay.
Release me. I'm just trying to give you the right. The word chalitza is a very rich word. The word chalitza is a very rich word. because it's used by chalitza sanal,
release,
and it's used every month, once a month. We recite it on Shabbos Mevarchim. Who doesn't come to shul Shabbos Mevarchim? They hire special chazanim, the kiddushim in honor of Shabbos Mevarchim. What do you say? You say a chilutz atzamos. Chilutz atzamos. The word chilutz atzamos is a cousin of the word from chalitza sanoa, and it's not the same vowel, which typically you can interpret it in many different ways. I knew someone who was a very big Baal Medaktik, and he was always he loved this expression of chilitza tzamos, and he claimed, which I personally, I'm not a person to enter into this machlokes, he claimed that what it means, chilitza tzamos, means the bone should be loose. What do you mean loose? So when you exercise, when you go jogging and you exercise, you loosen the bones of shtickle. Just not too much. If you loosen them too much.
Say one of the biggest problems is, you know, a lot of knee replacements are being done. It's because it's bone against bone. You want a little space there.
A little space.
You need a little space
right.
There.
Chilutz, he claimed that the word chilutz atzamos is equivalent to chalitza sanoa. Chalitza sanal means to loosen the straps of the shoe. Likewise, if the bones are too tight, no good. You got to exercise. When you exercise, you loosen the bones just slightly. I used to tell him just the opposite. Just the opposite. You want the bones to be firmly inserted in their socket. It should be tight. In, not too tight, but it should be tight in its socket. But that's not what it means. Chalitza. Chalitza means to loosen. That's not a kasha. Just like yishrosh, yisharesh. Yishrosh means it should take root. Yisharesh is to uproot. It's the same exact word. Same exact letters. It all depends how you pronounce it. If you pronounce it yishrosh, to take root. Same word, same letters. Yisharesh is to uproot. So when you use the word in the form of chalitza, it means to loosen. When you take the same exact letters and you pronounce it chilutz, it means to tighten. So the bones should be tightened in their sockets. He disagreed with me. Okay, but this word is a very rich word. We use it for Rosh Chodesh, Birchas Rosh Chodesh, Chilutz Atzamos. We have the parasha of Yibum, Chalitza Sanoal, and we have it over here in Tachlon, twice a day. You don't have to wait for Rosh Chodesh. For Rosh Chodesh, what?
There is one more. Chalutzim ta'avu lifnei.
Chalutzim.
What does it mean?
Yeah,
take yourself and remove yourself from wherever you are. Put yourself in the front.
The battlefield. Chalutzim ta'avru. So the translation is, it means armed, right? Isn't that, what's the simple translation? We have to simple translation, it means armed soldiers. Chalutzim ta'avru, you shall enter
front.
Soldiers. But what is the deeper meaning of the word? So Rav Kalman is saying, it means to release yourself. Where? From your comfort zone. Release yourself from your homeland and leave. Chalitza sanoal. Leave the comfort of your home and go out into the battlefield. Chalutzim ta'avru. Or, let's say you would say the other way around. Chalutzim ta'avru means you should be firmly embedded in the mission. A soldier has to be, if you take the word chalitza and you switch it from the opposite, instead of it meaning to loosen, to mean to tighten, when you go into the land, chalutzim ta'avru, you shall pay very close attention. You have to be firmly focused on the mission.
Lifnei
achechem.
In front. They were supposed to be in the front.
They had B'nai Gad had to be in the front. Okay, so this word is it's a very rich word. We say it every single day, twice a day. Shuva Hashem. Hashem, please withdraw from your anger. Chalutzo nafshi. It's a very rich word. Chilutz atzamos. Chalitza sanoal. Chalutzim ta'avru. What does it mean in this context? In this context, it simply means release my neshama from the tsar. release it from the mecholim, the neshama, from. Wouldn't you say it's the opposite? It's everything about. I would say to remove the source of pain from my neshama. All right, let's do that. But chal nashi choshieni leman chasecha, save me for the purpose and the sake of your kindness. Okay, it's too late and we have to stop.
Are you released from prison or is the prison releasing
you? So obviously you're released from prison, obviously. Right.
So my neshama from this prison of tzar.
Okay. All right, we have to stop here. We're going to take a short break. And then I want to talk about something very important, the procedure.
Rabbi Sai, for Hanukkah, anyone who wants a little personal hand sanitizer. And I have five books on the Hanukkah side that I mean, Sikras is no longer around. If you're interested, you can have a copy.
Where's Talari today?
She didn't want to come.
You don't want to come?
The Hanukkah, so some guys, the person, they called